a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, committee members, members of the audience. Welcome to Senate Local Government Committee. We'd also like to welcome the listeners listening to this on the South Dakota Legislative Research Council's website. Just a reminder for all of those of you in the audience, please turn off your cell phones or place them on vibrate. We would not want any disruptions during the committee hearing today. Madam Secretary, let's get started. Please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Here.
Unhoff?
Here.
Biederman?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Heason?
Here.
Colleen?
Here.
Fleckaway?
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The Chair will now entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
So moved
by Senator Bradford.
Second.
Second by Senator Holeen. This is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Minutes approved. Before we get started this morning, we will, as custom, let the pages come up to the microphone and introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Peyton Healy from Pukwana.
I'm Victoria Kinkler from Oneida.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Another reminder, make sure if you plan on testifying this morning that you sign up on the proponent or opponent sheet at the wooden podium up there. Everyone who testifies must sign up before they can proceed in their remarks. With that said, committee members, we'll get started. And what I want to do is drop below the line and resume our discussion on House Bill 1053. This is an act to repeal the requirement to provide a notice to abutting counties when changing the county plan or ordinances. And I understand we do have some folks here who can elaborate on this issue, which is why we deferred it in the first place. So, Representative Kirkaby, do you want to set the stage again briefly?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mark Kirkaby from Rapid City, and I do appreciate your indulgence and not further humiliating or humbling me last Friday. I'm fortunate I do have the Brookings County Planning Director as well as the Pennington County Planning Director here in the audience, and they certainly have the ability to officially and formally and accurately answer any questions you might have on the passage of House Bill 1053. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Kirkaby. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1053?
Morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm a planning director for Pennington County. I am involved with the South Dakota Planners Association. We have discussed this.
Sir, bill. Can you please let us know your name, too?
Oh, I'm sorry. Dan Jennison from Pennington County.
Thank you.
Zoning. I have talked to the Pennington County, or the, I should say, the South Dakota Planners Association. We have discussed this very bill, and we do feel this portion of the bill does need to be repealed. First of all, the bill doesn't say what the auditor is supposed to do with it. They have no clue. They get it, and they have absolutely nothing to do with it. It may even not even be involved with planning and zoning, so they have no clue what to do with this. The state law doesn't clarify anything of what they are to do with it. We are certainly not against notification. We already are required by state law to notify in three legal papers already to give proper notice for any ordinance amendment whatsoever. Our ordinances do not have any jurisdiction in the surrounding counties at all. They have absolutely no power. We do not have any jurisdiction in even the municipalities within our county. But we do try to take all notification processes, if it has anything or possible, anything to do or will have any effect on the surrounding counties, we will notify them already. I already do that with the counties in my area. This requires us to even notify the surrounding counties. If we do a simple ordinance amendment of just changing a word within our ordinance, we have to then notify. The state law would require us to notify all the surrounding counties, even if it was just a simple word change in our ordinance. And that's why we just don't feel this is necessary. We already take many steps to properly notify anybody that might have interest in any ordinance that we do.
Thank you, Mr. Jennison. Were you finished with your remarks?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We will, after the other proponents and if there are any opponents come up, we will open it up for questions, so you may get called up here again.
Sure.
So, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any further proponents who wish to testify on House Bill 1053?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and respective committees. My name is Robert Hill. I'm Brookings County Planning and Zoning Director, and I've held that position for the past 8 years. As I'm not going to cover everything Mr. Jensen did, but some of my remarks might slightly overlap. I do apologize. Each county commission is responsible for its own zoning and associated zoning ordinances. Currently, there are 66 counties in South Dakota, and 20 of those counties do not even participate in organized zoning. And right now there's 5 different South Dakota-fied laws that require us to notify the public anytime we change our zoning ordinances. And specifically one that we like to mention is the rezoning. Every now and then an individual will come up and say, well, you're trying to change the zoning near the county line and it's going to affect our tax base in the adjoining county. South Dakota Codified Law 112-28.1 specifically states anything within 1 mile of a county line that's being rezoned, you have to notify the adjoining county. So we feel that that one's already covered. Most counties have planning departments that are manned by one or two individuals, one full-time and possibly a part-time secretary who has many additional tasks. My official title is Planning, Zoning, and Drainage Director. And we're surrounded by 5 South Dakota counties in Brookings and 1 Minnesota county. And it's just a burden every time we want to change our zoning ordinance to have to This is one of those laws that if you don't stay on top of, you just overlook and don't do the notification. The law that we're asking to be changed, 112-29, talks about notification being sent to the auditor of a county. And there are 4 counties in South Dakota that does not have auditors. They've got finance officers, and Brookings County is one of them. I asked my finance officer on Friday, what do you do with them if you get them? And she scratched her head and said, I'd look at it and try to figure out which office it goes to. And then we couldn't give me a set answer. Then I asked her what state law talked about finance officers and their duties versus auditor's offices. And she couldn't even produce that one for me either. And public notifications, as Mr. Jennison stated, makes up only a portion of the oversight of county zoning offices. We also were monitored by our taxpaying citizens. We're not trying to hide nothing. We've got planning districts, water development districts, conservation districts, and special interest groups always looking at our ordinances to see are we doing something right. In closing, I am fortunate to have a staff. I've got a full-time assistant and a contract building inspector. Not every county is as fortunate as Brookings County, and we just feel Brookings County Commission, who I do represent, unnecessarily believes it's unnecessary burdens on local planning and zoning officers, and we feel it's an inefficient use of our time and inefficient use of taxpayer dollars. And I'll stand by for questions later. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hale. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1053? The chair will allow, again, for opponent testimony. Are there any opponents who wish to testify this morning on House Bill 1053? I will now open this up back up to questions of committee members after some of the new testimony we heard this morning. Do any committee members have any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
I have a question for Mr. Jennison. Good morning. In your testimony, you said that you have steps that you take in place for notification, but you didn't elaborate. What are those steps that you do to notify public when you're making a change to your comprehensive plan or ordinance?
Well, state law already requires us to notify in three legal newspapers a minimum of 10 days prior to the ordinance being heard by planning and zoning. So it's done and advertised in three papers. We also put it on the web for people to, the internet to, for people to look at.
Thank you.
Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Same question. To me, to take this out, I mean, they said the auditor don't do nothing with it. One of you said that or something. But why all of a sudden, if this is nothing the way it sounds to me, this part of this law, just send a simple notice over to the next county. Why is it so important, really, to have this out?
It really doesn't state what they're supposed to do with it. It's an extra step that we don't necessarily, there's really no relevance to it. It doesn't do anything. The auditor gets it, and they really don't, because they don't, our ordinance have absolutely no effect on the surrounding counties, none. Their ordinances stand alone. They're enforced by that county. Our ordinances have absolutely no legal jurisdiction over any of those other counties. So it has absolutely no jurisdiction.
Follow up, Senator.
Well, to me, what bothers me is say you're on the border of my county and you're going to put a development in there. And the drainage from that could come into my county. That's the only purpose of notices about planning or construction. Wouldn't that be still a viable notice?
And that is, and we do, that is under 11.228.1, that does require notification if it's within a mile of that. So that's already taken care of through that state law.
Are there any further questions from members of the committee? Thank you, Mr. Jennison.
Thank you.
The chair will now move on to committee discussion and action. Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move do pass.
We have a do pass motion by Senator Teason on House Bill 1053, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any further discussion on the do pass motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, my questions and concerns have been addressed. I appreciate the additional testimony. It was important to me to get a basis for this, and that's been done, so I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the do pass motion for House Bill 1053? Seeing no further discussion, we have a do pass motion for House Bill 1053. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Unhoff?
No.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Helene?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
For 6 ayes, 1 nay.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of the members-elect present, House Bill 1053 passes and will now move to the floor. Our next bill up this morning is House Bill 1104. This is an act to revise the deadline for withdrawing from a primary election. And welcome, Senator Helene.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Senator Reed Holing, representing District 5, which is Watertown. And it's my pleasure today to bring you a bill that received overwhelming support in the House. It's House Bill 1104. It's basically just cleaning up kind of an embarrassing mistake in wording in current campaign law. In current campaign law, the deadline to withdraw your name for a primary election comes before the filing deadline, which would mean that you would have the possibility of having to withdraw before you actually could file, or vice versa. And then also, because of that deadline, if you did change your mind and wanted to withdraw after the filing deadline, or let's say in the final week before a primary, you can't do it under current state law. So it seems like it's a, for those of us who have been through primaries and things like that, seems like a common sense approach. But with that said, I will pass it off to someone with more experience and knowledge in election law. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Holeen. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1104?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Gant, Secretary of State. 1104 deals with the date to withdraw from the primary election. Now, this, of course, is different than the general election, so we're just talking about the primary. Right now, state law says that the deadline to withdraw from a primary election is 1 week before the deadline to file. So what we had happen this past year is, with there being big Republican convention last summer, there were a number of people who filled out their forms to be precinct committee man or committee women. And when they were filling those out, they, of course, had no desire, oh, some had no desire to be in a primary where they had to put their name on a ballot and that kind of stuff. Well, when a couple of them asked me if they could withdraw from the election because they didn't want to be on a ballot, so to speak, we started looking at the law, and that's where we saw that the deadline to withdraw from the primary is a week before the deadline. So if you were to fill out your petitions right away and get your name on the ballot really early, and then you were, and then something came up and you decided, well, wait a minute, maybe I don't want to do this. Well, if you have that revelation towards the end of the filing period, you would be stuck on the ballot and you wouldn't be able to withdraw. So what this bill does is it changes the law so that the deadline to withdraw is 2 days after the deadline to file. So everyone must file on this particular day, and then everyone has 2 days after that, should they decide they don't want to be on the primary ballot, they can then withdraw from the ballot. And they will know everyone who's running, everything will be out there in the open. We've discussed this with a number of groups, and they are okay with it. I think it makes common sense that the deadline to withdraw is after the deadline to file. We had some concerns on whether or not we could still get ballots printed and everything ready to go for the primary election. Those issues we were able to resolve. Just adding 2 days there isn't going to be isn't going to affect the printing of those ballots, but it is going to help the overall system of our elections. So again, this is just for the primary election. Nothing changes for the general election. The date to withdraw there, and with the count, with the political party, should they want to replace someone for the general election, all that statutes and stuff stays alone. This is strictly the primary. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary of State Gantz. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1104? Seeing no further proponents, we will now open it up for opponent testimony for House Bill 1104. Are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, the chair will now move on to questions of committee members. Do any committee members have any questions? Chair now closes the question and question period, and we'll now move on to committee discussion and action. Any committee discussion and action on House Bill 1104?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
I move do pass on HB 1104.
Second.
We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1104 by Senator Hunhoff, second by Senator Teason. Any discussion on that do pass motion, Senator? Any further discussion? The motion before us is due pass for House Bill 1104. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Shackaway?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members-elect president, House Bill 1104 passes.
Mr. Chair, move consent.
Second.
We have a motion by Senator Teason for consent, second by Senator Holeen. This is a voice vote. Committee members, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. House Bill 1104 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. Our final bill this morning, committee members, is House Bill 1179. This is an act to permit local political subdivisions with volunteer advanced life support personnel to establish deferred compensation plans. And welcome, Senator, or Representative Klauchek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable members of the Senate Local Government Committee. House Bill 1179 comes to you with a lot of deliberation. For the last 3 years, we've been trying to work out an issue down in my district, and I had a request from a constituent to put this legislation in, and I actually denied a constituent putting a bill in for 2 years, and usually I will put one in if they ask, but I said there's got to be a way to fix this without putting a bill in, and we went over it and over it, and indeed there wasn't. This bill sets up a volunteer advanced life deferred compensation plan for EMTs, identical to what is in statute, I understand, already or in law already for volunteer firemen and firewomen, not to discriminate there. And it sets up the same parameters, and it does that. And we've, I believe, support from the EMTs and their association, their lobbyists, the retirement laws people have signed off on it, and we found no formal opposition to it that we can find. And so it seems like it's a, I don't know, I won't say a no-brainer, but a should be a good piece of legislation. We did have a question on home rule, and they said, well, they can do this with home rule. They can, but they're not. And I asked that question of the mayor in our district. He says, we won't do it unless there's a law saying that we can do it. We want to feel comfortable that there's a law in place to do this. And that's the best answer I can get. He talked to his attorneys and those folks, and that's the answer that they gave me. So even though the home rule option was there, they're not utilizing it. They feel comfortable. They want this bill or some form of it to move ahead with this. And I do ask for your support. You know how valuable the EMTs are, especially our rural volunteer EMTs and all the services they do. And, you know, I have a lot of two personal examples. I won't get into them today, but they've been very vital in our rural communities, and I'd stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Klauchek. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1179? Seeing no further proponents, we'll now move on and take opponent testimony for House Bill 1179. Are there any opponents? Chair now closes proponent and opponent testimony and opens House Bill 1179 up for questions from members of the committee. Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. I have a question. Exactly how would this program work?
Mr. Chair, thank you. It would allow them, if you see any municipality, county, or ambulance district could set up a advanced savings program or a deferred compensation program where they would pay the money in and then they would earn income or whatever, and then when they were ready to take it out, and not necessarily, excuse me, at retirement, but say they're moving or something else, they'd be able to take that money out to be used for whatever expenses they needed. And it's currently being done by the volunteer firefighters all over the state, I understand. So it would simply mirror that program to a T. There'd be no, you know, expansion or detraction. It would simply extend that same to EMTs. And the reason they do this is some locales have only EMTs, and they don't have, or some have only volunteer firemen, some have only EMTs, and that way, and some have both. But where they have both, there's an advanced program, so I don't know if that explains it, but it's a way that they can utilize some money for their own expenses for their years of service. Does that explain it good enough?
Follow up.
So I see where the language says may, but ultimately counties would be able to do a share with the employee, or the, they're not employees, they're volunteers,
right,
to do that. So this sets the county up, so now they would have some kind of program that they'd give money to?
Legal authority to do that, yes.
Chair. Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just confirming that all aspects of this are permissive.
That's the way I understand it. That's how we had it drafted.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Klochak, could you give me a better understanding of how, let's say, a volunteer fire department might do it, what kind of dollars they're talking about, and how much money the county or municipality might be in for to fund such a program?
Well, I could give you an example of, I guess, this case. It would have been, he had 20, I believe it was 21 years of service in, and if it would have been similar to the fireman, it would have been around $2,500, $3,000 that he would have had, you know, built up that time for those 21 years. So it's not a lot of money, but it's something that he could have used, this individual, to move to a, he needed it to move to another location, and, or, you know, it would have used it for going for another location, used it for training and whatever else. So it's not a lot of money, but it's a token, I guess, a thank you more than anything, but it's a way they can help their EMTs.
Are there any more questions regarding House Bill 1179? Thank you, Representative Klochak. Seeing no further questions, the chair will now move on to committee discussion and action. Any committee discussion and action on House Bill 1179? Senator Holeen.
I'll move to pass. Second.
We have a motion, do pass motion, by Senator Holeen, second by Senator Lederman, on House Bill 1179. Any discussion on that motion?
Just, it seems like a good idea. We're not forcing anybody, just letting them if they so choose. Seems okay to me.
Any further discussion on the do pass motion? Seeing no further discussion, we have a do pass motion on House Bill 1179. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
There were 7 ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members-elect present, House Bill 1179 passes. Senator Bradford?
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Senator Bradford to place on the consent calendar, second by Senator Holeen. This is a voice vote, committee members. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. House Bill 1179 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar in the Senate. Well, good job, committee members. We are done with our calendar for today. A reminder, on Wednesday, we, if you remember, on Friday, we had a House bill referred back to us, and we are going to take that bill up at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. We're going to do it at 9 a.m. I believe there's going to be a few out-of-town folks to talk to, visit with us on at that time, but 9 a.m. Wednesday, and that will be the final bill, it looks like, we have. So 9 a.m. Wednesday, and just also another reminder, leave your black binders for the pages to pick up.
Remind me what that bill is.
That is House Bill 1044.
I'll put a copy in there.
That is about the water districts. That was Representative Jones about not having to, expanding that you didn't have to live in the Blair area because it was on a floodplain.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, that's all right. So we will take up that on Wednesday at 9 a.m. We'll let Senator Holeen sleep in a little bit. The chair will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Lederman, second by Senator Holeen. All in favor, this is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.